Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Good morning. Guess what we're talking about today?
Christmas.
There you go. Do you realize it's 22 days away? Is that like speeding up on anybody in here? 22 days. Hopefully, after today's message, you'll be able to breathe a little bit more relating to the pressures of Christmas. But we are doing a series calling Simple Christmas. And I think most of us recognize that there's tension, that there's navigation that all of us have to do in this season each year within our culture. There's things about Christmas, there's expectations that we place on it, that other people place on us. There's challenges with blended families. There's broken relationships, like what are we gonna do with this issue? There's finances. How can we afford to do what we're attempting to do? There's even travel, which is stressful left to its own, right? There's all these different things that, by and large, we can't control. But I believe there's some things that we can control. And that is how we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. I believe we can control that and we can move that towards more simplicity. You know, we live in this culture where this culture, the voices have obscured the true meaning of Christmas. We all see that, right? We all get it. It's very, very commercialized. And there's many things that compete for our time, for our family's time, that become rather challenging. And here's what I would say in all this. I mean, we all have these desires to have peace, to have contentment, to have warm family experiences. And yet, the question that I would ask you is it possible for any one of you to make all of your family members happy? Can we just agree that alone is a great feat, right? And if your goal for Christmas is to make your family happy, you might be headed the wrong direction. Maybe it's to give everybody what they need. Wow, that's a daunting task. Maybe it's trying to create this idealistic experience that leaves you completely exhausted and depressed because you didn't accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. And I look at this and it's so subtle and so easy to get wrapped up and so deep into it and then realize, wow, that was overrated. That was hard. That was exhausting. You know, and I think about Mary just for a moment. Mary, she had no, what's that women's channel that you got? Hallmark. Like, oh, gee. Mary had no Hallmark channel to prepare for the birth of her son, right? She had no Christmas catalog that she could just comb the pages to go, how do I create the perfect Christmas? Actually, the birth of our Lord and Savior came in a very messy way, born in a feeding trough, less than ideal, even for Mary and Joseph, less than ideal, imperfect. He was perfect. The experience was less than that. So this is just to help us on the front end recalibrate some things as we head into this season. Culturally, I think the focus has really moved. I think initially the focus was to ask the question, what does Jesus want for me? And what does Jesus want from me? Like, what does Jesus want for me? What he came to offer us love, peace, hope, and joy. That's what he wants for each and every one of us. What does he want from us? He wants our devotion, our hearts, our worship, to remember, to celebrate him, our Savior, the Savior of the world. And this has got this has got changed so much in our culture. The common language that we ask one another now is, what do you want for Christmas? Right? We all get that. What do you want for Christmas? And there's nothing wrong with asking someone what they want for Christmas. It may come from a giving, other-centered heart, not wanting to give to get, but just to give to bless. So I'm not bashing that question, but my challenge would be, how is that question linked back to what Jesus wants for us and what he wants from us? And the natural response to that then becomes, what do I want for Christmas? Because when you ask, what do you want? Now the question is asked back, what do I want? And it isn't long before we miss the entire meaning and purpose, and it's all about giving gifts to one another, which, again, giving a gift to one another is not wrong. The very gift that we've received in Christ Jesus was given with no expectation other than just to receive it, right? That's in Jesus himself. So before we dive too much into this, I want to make a simple statement here, and I realize that this message can come across like I have this all figured out, and I don't. There's been years where Christy and I have succeeded at this, and years where we've drifted and gotten sucked into things that probably were not driven by purpose and meaning. So if your goal this winter, I'm wishing it's summer. Anybody move a lot of snow yesterday? If our goal this winter is to simplify, this Christmas season is to remember the meaning of this season and to simplify, I praise you for that. Because there is a lot of pressure and current pulling and dragging each of us in different directions, right? And so we need real wisdom as to how to navigate this. Again, my purpose in this message is to just restore meaning and purpose so that we can self-evaluate where we are in this process and not be led astray by the things that are around us. How do we get here is the question. Like, how in the world do we get here? And Paul says something. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, his second letter in chapter 11. Paul is saying in this text, he's saying, I want to present you, church, you Christians in the church, as the Lord's spotless, pure, holy bride. That's what he's saying. But look at chapter 11, verse 3. This is what Paul says. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure dedication to Christ. And I'm convinced that Paul didn't write this just because he thought it was a catchy phrase for them. He wrote it because he understood the culture that the Corinthian Christians lived in, and he understood their challenges and what was happening within the church as a whole. And he says, my fear, like I'm afraid that you guys are going to get sucked into the ditch and lose your devotion and your complete meaning. How do we get here? We got here by listening and yielding to a voice in this world that does not come from heaven. That's how we got here. We got here by losing meaning and purpose for Christmas. And I don't want to make this black and white like it's either or. I realize it's very nuanced, and each and every one of you have to navigate this. But I want to challenge you to stop and go, what is the true meaning and purpose for Christmas? I think it's really, really important for all of us so that we have God's perspective. I am going to really target some of you younger families, and I'm not beating up on you, but I'm here to help you evaluate so that you can become legacy builders in this season and take the opportunity given you very intentionally and with purpose, right? You guys okay? All right. One person's okay. So let's look at the simple meaning of Christmas for just a minute. Christmas, there was great anticipation. Why? Because the prophets prophesied about this coming Messiah. Listen to what Isaiah says. You guys have heard this text, chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Does anybody know what Emmanuel means? We all should. God with us, right? But I want you to notice something here that is incredibly purposeful. It says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. What is the sign? A virgin birth. There's no other way that virgin birth could happen unless it was the miraculous hand of God moving. Do you realize that? So from the very onset of the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior is this miracle that some people go, how in the world could that have happened? I don't know, other than God said so. Anticipation. There's this longing for this Messiah. The world is groaning. There's hurt and pain. Christmas is about the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. And with his coming comes his peace, his hope, his love, and his joy. They come right with him because he is all of those things. Why? To save a hurting and a lost world. Notice what John says in John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I love this text because when he says he made his dwelling among us, in the Greek, what that means he tabernacled among us. In other words, he pitched his tent beside us, in our presence. Like God didn't say, you're going to have to figure out this crazy way at which I'm going to approach you and enter a relationship with you. He came to earth. We didn't have to go search for him. He came for us and presented himself to us relationally in a very close manner. He pitched his tent among us is what that text really means. And I, if you just stop for a minute and you go, the meaning of Christmas is miraculous. It's like beyond what we could ever dream up. It's God and God's infinite wisdom and plan. It's amazing. God sent his son into the world to rescue and redeem us, right? From our helplessness and all the goofy things that we go through. He offered us salvation. Christmas is also about bringing light into a dark world. Light. I love what John says in chapter 8. He says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I want you to think about this. Light represents revelation, right? When God shines his light on something, he reveals purpose and truth. If we're in darkness and we're stumbling around on this world with no vision and direction, Jesus says, I have come to shine light, to identify your purpose and meaning in life, and I'm inviting you to join me on this journey. That's true meaning. He came to set us free from the chains of bondage. And then I was thinking about this. I don't know another holiday that we have in our American culture that doesn't chain us to more bondage than Christmas. Think about this for a minute. He came to deliver us from being encumbered by all this weight of going around. And yet at Christmas, preparing to celebrate the one who came to set us free, we go into financial debt, we spoil our kids, we go off the reservation and lose our minds. I'm like, what? For years, Christmas has been celebrated on December 25th. And there are people that argue about, What is the appropriate date? Some say January, some say September. So it doesn't matter. I'll tell you what matters is that we remember why our Lord came to reach down, to dwell among us, to set us free, to walk with us, and to offer us salvation. That's why he came. Meaning and purpose. I want to look at purpose for a minute. The purpose, the simple purpose of Christmas. You know, in the Old Testament, Titus talked about this in his communion devotional. There were reminders, there were festivals that God commanded his people to do for the distinct purpose of remembering and celebrating. And in God's infinite wisdom, he knew it would take festivals, celebrations, events that would remind people of his provision and his protection, his loving kindness. And then the people in turn were to take time, set it apart, and actually walk alongside their families, remembering God. This legacy building process that they offered. Do you realize, building a foundation of legacy for your family takes intentionality. Do you realize that? And I would say this, even with your greatest efforts, the people on the other end still have free will, right? So don't hold your breath that everything's going to be perfect. Recognize that you've been given a role and a purpose, and you're called to do that as best you possibly can as a broken person, which we all are, recognizing that other people have to choose to respond. But if we don't lead, we're never going to get to the destination that we've been called to celebrate here. Christmas is intended to be a celebration of the birth of our Lord. Let's remember his absolute importance in each and every one of our lives. Super important. And I would say that the enemy doesn't care that we celebrate Christmas. He really doesn't. What he wants to do is keep us, though, from celebrating the true meaning of the birth of our Lord and Savior. Do you see the difference? Like, he's totally fine with us going off the reservation and going into debt and doing all that stuff as long as we don't focus on our Savior. That's what he's after. And he's used this culture, he's used marketing, he's used our commercial world that we live in to distract us and to deceive us and to pull us off of the simplicity that God intended for Christmas. So I want to share a couple things, and I said earlier I want to speak to everybody in here, but I really want to target some younger families. I just want you to, here's what I'd ask. Just, Lord, let me hear what you, not what Jim, but what the Lord wants to speak to you, just to help you with perspective in this. So I want to ask a couple things. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, wherever you find yourself, what is your goal for this Christmas? Have you thought through that? Is it to make everyone happy? Is it to give everyone what they want because of that great Christmas list that they pass around? Is that the goal? There's nothing wrong with giving gifts. The question is, what's our motivation? I was reflecting on some younger years with our kids and being around families. And anybody in here experience that kids that are overdriven with gifts turn into the Tasmanian devil? You ever seen that? Where they're running from one gift to the next, ripping it open. Wow, cool. And then they're distracted. It's like ADHD on steroids. And then they go over to the next one, rip it open. How many of you guys have noticed that in the process of that, a lot of the younger kids have more fun playing with the boxes that the gifts came in than the actual gift? What will your current habits and lessons lead to? Contentment and gratitude? or entitlement and narcissism? And that is an important question to ask. Because we can justify what we do, but if we don't look at outcomes, it doesn't matter what we do. What is the outcome? You know, we live in a world right now, if you're aware of this, that is highly entitled and very narcissistic. And I don't believe that Christmas is the genesis of all that, but I believe that at the base of the tree, you can make some changes to help not create a world of entitled narcissistic people that are consumer-driven, that want what they want, and when they don't, they throw a tantrum. Because when that cute little son or daughter grows up and they've modeled that, or that's been modeled to them and it comes easy to them, they're going to become something that's not going to be easy for you to navigate as a parent. And I'm not saying this to bash anybody here. I'm just saying intentionality matters if we're going to reach the outcomes that God wants. What's our motivation behind all this? And I want to be careful with this. Have you ever felt compelled to give a gift because you screwed up as a parent and you're trying to please your kid? Anybody else in here? A couple people. What about can't handle the disappointment or rejection if they don't get what they want, or a relative doesn't get what they want? Is it the right thing to do just to give it to them so you don't have to feel that tension? You know, I know that there's some of you in here that were raised in a home where you had nothing. And you've made this vow in your heart that you will never allow your kids to go without because of what you experienced. And I wouldn't make a vow over that. I think that you have to do some adjusting, but my question would be, has the pendulum swung too far? Where you just want to pave the way and not let them experience any of the reality of life? Because the last I checked, we don't always get what we want. Motivation. I want to be respectful with this. I'm not here to bash you guys. We are all in process. We are all on a journey dealing with our own stuff and now thrust into the middle of a family. And each member of the family has their own stuff, their own desires and expectations of what this should be, that is stimulated by a culture that wants nothing more than to distract and obscure the true meaning of Christmas. Here's the real danger in all this. This is a sobering text. Some of you are familiar with Joshua, but in the book of Judges, in chapter 2, verse 10, the word says that after Joshua died and the elders that were around Joshua at the time, the older men that were with him that were leading the Israelites, after they died, here's what the text says. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. How can that happen? Did you hear that? One generation after Joshua grew up, didn't know God at all or any of the things that he had done. I'll tell you how it happens. We sprinkle a little Jesus around Christmas time, and we expect our family and our kids to grasp the bigger picture, to live a surrendered life to their Lord and Savior. There is no way possible that you can sprinkle a little Jesus on Christmas and expect any fruitful outcome. We have to be intentional. We have fun in the midst of it, but let's just be intentional with it. You know, we're not commanded to celebrate Christmas at all. Yet, like in the Old Testament with some of the festivals, but let's look at the opportunity for a minute. Let's look at the opportunity. And I want to use the word opportunity because there is no other time of the year that you have a more captive audience than actually two, Christmas and Easter. But even in our culture today, Christmas is more elevated. You have a captive audience that you have an opportunity to help lead and bring clarity in the midst of all of this noise so that they can see who Jesus really is. It's an opportunity for us to disciple our children, but not just our children. This isn't in your notes, but I'm going to read it anyway. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 1 and 2. This is Moses. These are the commands, the decrees, and the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Listen to verse 2. So that you, stop right there. This isn't just about raising our kids. This is about us as adults having God's perspective. He's saying, Moses is saying, so that you, your children, and their children. That sounds a little bit like legacy right there, doesn't it? Did you hear that? So that you, your children, and their children after them may what? Fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping his decrees and commands that I give you. So that you may enjoy long life. Did you hear that? This is for all of us. It's for all of us. Here's something that I want to talk about celebration for a minute. Is anybody familiar with Advent in here? Advent is really important. You know, it means the arrival, the coming of Emmanuel, God with us, the Advent, the coming of someone really important, right? And for us Christians, Advent is super important. I want to read this text to you out of Jeremiah for a minute. And the reason why I picked this text is because if you know the story of Jeremiah, he is a contemporary in a very broken culture where Israel has already been cast aside, and now the two tribes, the southern tribes of Judah, are about to be exiled by the Babylonians. And Jeremiah is in the midst of all of this, and the voice that he cries out with here in chapter 33 is profound. Listen to it. This is a prophecy of hope. The days are coming. He's referring to the Advent. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. Who's that? That's Jesus, the Messiah. Listen, he will do what is just and right in the land. And I love 16. If you think about the context now, in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. Did you hear that? We celebrate this anticipation, this coming into the world of our Lord, the first Advent. The second is what? When Christ returns for us. This coming into the world to bring peace, love, joy, provision. Jeremiah is saying something really profound that we have not seen totally fulfilled yet. For the Jews, powerful. In Christianity, Advent represents a four-week period where we anticipate, we celebrate, we have the opportunity to teach our kids, our families, some important things. We have a chance to take the heart of God that he gave his people in the Old Testament and apply it here in the season that we have, even in this broken culture we're in. There's no way in the world we can give a full picture of Jesus in a 10-minute devotional with kids that are like so focused on gifts that they can't hear a thing. Discipleship, that's our responsibility. How are we going to prepare our kids to survive and to be mature adult Christians in this world if we don't capitalize on opportunities such as this? You guys okay? You awake? All right. I want to give you some simple ideas. They're not comprehensive. They're just creative ideas that you might be able to employ or to start within your family. And I would say some of you guys are spot on and you've been very, very diligent and intentional about this. I commend you, okay? None of us are perfect. I just want to say this again. But there's a few things that we can do to bring more intentionality to this season. Number one, use an Advent calendar between now and Christmas. We have them at the front door in a box. When you go out, you can grab an Advent calendar. Use a calendar, whether it's with kids or not, to prepare your heart and your home to receive your Lord and Savior, to celebrate what he's done, to praise his name, to be devoted to him. Yeah, this is a simple tool. It's easy. Once a day, just spend some time, read through it, talk through it. Anybody in here have nativity scenes in your homes? That's good. Let your kids help you set up the nativity scene and explain to them what the figures in the nativity scene actually represent. Open up Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 and just let the word breathe on them. Just read what it means to them. Help them connect the dots. Advent calendar, nativity scene. Read the Christmas story. Talk with your family about why Jesus came to earth, meaning and purpose. Just talk to them about it. Help them. Ready for this one? Minimize or eliminate Santa. Maybe what you do is you teach them about St. Nicholas and what a benevolent person he was to give and minister. Invite unchurched friends to Christmas Eve services. And then be intentional afterwards to just discuss with them what they heard, what they're processing. It is an opportunity that we all have, you guys. How about adopting a family to serve them over Christmas? A family you know that is real need. How do you come alongside them with the heart of Jesus? Instead of just consuming gifts in our home, how do we take practical gifts to other people that will really bless them? Serve your family by doing something for them. You know, my daughter and son-in-law did something several years for me, and the reason why I'm sharing this is because I remember this gift. They took barn wood and they put it on some framework, and my son-in-law, who's just super creative, wrote a blessing on the barn wood to me, and then they put these, what are those things we used to put on the clothesline? Clothespins. They put clothespins on the board, and then they attach family pictures to it all. And it's hanging on the wall in our bedroom, and it blesses me to look at it. You know why? Because they took the time, instead of pushing the Amazon button, and they constructed something that took heart and thought, and it's very meaningful to me. And I'm just like all of you. I forget things, and then I've got to get on the Google machine and find something and get it here second day because I'm a male. Anybody else in here? You got 22 days to be prepared, to be intentional, to do it with meaning and purpose, right? 22 days. It's not very long. You better hurry up. Do a family devotion Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Even with little ones that get distracted, don't make it the law. Don't get frustrated. Just start to wash them with truth. Remember, Advent, we're already into it. It's intended to be a four-week event where we prepare our hearts, we usher our Lord intentionally into our homes as an opportunity to disciple and to point people to the one who really cares. Can I get an amen? Worship team, you guys can come up as I close here. Remember, gifts are an expression of appreciation because Jesus was the greatest gift giver of all. You guys get that, right? If you're here this morning and you've not received what Jesus offers, the perfect gift that he offers you, salvation, peace, love, joy, hope, grace, mercy, I encourage you, don't leave here today. Don't go through another crazy Christmas season and forget what this season's about, right? God has a purpose for your life. There's a purpose and meaning behind celebrating him because he's good. He's really good, right? All the time. Here's what I would say. Making changes. Maybe you're in here and you're like, I already know what I need to change. Maybe you don't need to change anything. Praise the Lord. You can teach us. Don't go into commando mode and command change because you have a new idea. This is leadership. You have to actually lead people. They have to understand the why and the purpose if they're going to follow you. So maybe it's just one or two little shifts that you make this year, and then maybe next year you make one or two more. What you're trying to do is prepare them for an outcome that they live as mature, loving, merciful, kind Christians. Legacy building, opportunity. Start by praying for God to give you wisdom and creativity in this area. I don't know. You need creativity. You need wisdom. You're living in a world that's throwing so many things at you. We all are. Start by praying. Stop and evaluate opportunities you have to be purposeful this Christmas. What are some simple adjustments that you can make to begin to transition where you are more towards purpose and meaning of our Lord and Savior? And then lastly, how will you communicate those changes in a way that you bring people along with you? Right? You guys get this. It's not difficult. Let me say it this way. The concept's not difficult. Walking this out can be very challenging. And we need God's grace, right? So what I want to do, like, if you need prayer, I would encourage you to come up on either side. But I want to pray for you guys. We all need prayer in this time so that we actually can end up closer to where God would have us. So I want to pray. Father God, you are good and gracious. And Lord, we just want to be devoted to you. And we acknowledge you as our Savior and our Lord. We acknowledge that you are so good. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for the joy that you give us, not happiness, but deep contentment, because you've taken care of our greatest problem. Lord, would you give us your wisdom as we navigate the complexities of relationship and the weight that our culture puts on us in this season, that you would produce in us a fruit, a joy, and a peace to lead with intentionality and yet with grace and mercy. God, would you help us to do that? We need you, or this is just a work of the flesh. So God, I just pray over our entire church family, and I ask your will be done. And all God's people said, you guys want to stand and worship? Let's worship.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.